Barbara's going to share some things with the adults tonight. She's been preaching to me all day, so it's your turn.
You get to hear it again. Aren't you blessed? Amen. Lord, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for your presence that's already here, strong within us, Lord. We just ask for the anointing of the Lord on the word tonight, that it'll go into our hearts, that there will be a sensitivity and a just to enter into your presence and to let your word take resident and root in our hearts, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, Sunday, Calvin preached a beautiful message about God in 3D, and I loved it. I just thought it was awesome, but the Lord had put on my heart tonight to talk about the character of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is his character? What is he like? What is he to us? And how does he work? And we're going to start in John 14, and we're going to start with verse 16 through 17 in the Amplified Version. And I'm going to be doing several different versions tonight, so you might want to just look at the screen. And so we'll be all on the same page. Hallelujah. John, here we are. This is Jesus talking, and he said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever." So the Holy Spirit is our comforter. I mean, we always need comfort. He's our counselor. When we don't know what to do, he's right there for us to ask him. He's our helper. We don't have to do it alone. He's here to help us. He's the intercessor that prays the will of the Father through us. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. He takes a legal stand in our behalf. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He's our strengthener and our standby. He's always there. Hallelujah. He is always there. Verse 17. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take into its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. For he lives with you constantly and will be in you." We're going down to verse 26 now. It says, "But the Comforter, the counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf." So what's the Holy Spirit do within us? He represents Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He acts in Jesus' behalf. He's there with us. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, bring to remembrance everything I have told you. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit does when we're speaking to somebody, witnessing to somebody, and the Lord will just bring a scripture up in our heart. He'll just, you know, I'm sure all of you have had that happen. You know, we'll just be visiting with somebody, and it might not be on the top of our head, but the Lord will bring up in our heart, you know, he'll bring to remembrance everything that he's told you. And there it says he'll bring to remembrance. You know, you have to already have it in there. And so it's real important to continually study the word and have it in there. When you have it in there, then he will bring it up in your memory right when you need it. Hallelujah. Next, we're going to Romans 8, 26 and 27. And this is Amplified again. And it says, "So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But this whole Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is. Because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's will. So when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying the will of God. And sometimes when we don't know what to pray, it's important to pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit knows what the will and the plan and the purpose of God is, and he prays God's will through us. Now we're going on to John 16, and we're going to read 13 through 15, New King James Version. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Hallelujah. So the Spirit tells us things to come. He prepares us for what we need to know in the future. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit takes what is Jesus and declares it to us. He lets us in on what Jesus is doing. 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So here we see the Trinity. It says, all things that the Father has are mine, speaking of Jesus. And therefore, I said, he will take what's mine and deliver it to you. So that's good news. What is the Father's is Jesus, and it's ours. Through the Holy Spirit that brings us to it. God is a deliverer. He sets people free. Isaiah 10:27, we won't go there, but it says the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit breaks yokes of bondage. Hallelujah. That's part of his job. Now we're going to Luke 4:18, New King James. And this was a prophecy of Jesus, or this was what Jesus said of himself. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus. Now, where does the Spirit of the Lord live? It lives in us. The Spirit of the Lord, when we're filled with the Spirit, he lives within us. And so we could read this to say, the Spirit of the Lord is within me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and everybody's poor that doesn't know Jesus. Doesn't matter how much money they have, they're poor if they don't know Jesus. And the Spirit is in us to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are oppressed. So that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost that's within us, to preach, to set at liberty the captives. Hallelujah. That's our purpose as Spirit-filled sons and daughters of God. Going on to John 15, 26, it says, but when the Helper, speaking of the Holy Spirit, this is New King James, comes, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And so the Holy Spirit here is called the Helper, and he's also called the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. He speaks the truth. He is true. But it says, he will testify of me. And then in Acts 1:8, and we don't even have to go there. We all know it. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Or you shall testify of me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the end of the world. But the Holy Spirit's job is to testify of Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we have the power to testify and to be a witness for Jesus. That comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And Then we're going to go on and see a little different aspect, a contrast between walking in the Spirit and walking in our own strength or ability. And we're going to Galatians 3, 1 through 3, New King James. And Paul's speaking here, and he said, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect in the flesh?" I'm going to go ahead. When we're born again by the Spirit, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we are to rely upon the Spirit and let Him live through us. We're to let Him be our helper and our counselor and tell us what to do. We're to be led by the Spirit. the scripture says they that are, Romans 8, 14 says, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So when we're born again, we should never go back to trying to please God with our works or by trying to keep the law. We will keep the law if we're following the Holy Ghost, because He's the perfect law of liberty. Hallelujah. And so it's important that we live dependent upon the Holy Spirit and let Him work and operate in our life. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what's the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is." I'm sorry, I went the wrong direction. Go back to Galatians 5, 16 through 18. It says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." The key to living in the Spirit is to keep our attention on the Lord. Look at Him. Don't let what the devil's doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Keep your main focus on Him, on awareness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't live as a reaction to darkness, but live as a response to light. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 7 through 8. I'm going to read that in the Message, and I'll wait for that to come up. Romans 8, 7 through 8. It says, "Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God and ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what He's doing, and God isn't pleased with being ignored." I love that. When we get to just thinking about ourselves and even trying to please God and living by the law and trying to do everything right in our own flesh, we have our attention on us and what we can do instead of having our dependence and our eyes on the Lord and what He can do through us. And letting Him be our helper and our counselor and depending on the Holy Ghost within. Hallelujah. You know, our attention needs to be on the Lord, because God isn't pleased when He's being ignored. Galatians 5:22 says, "The fruit of the Spirit is," this is if His presence is there, this is what's going to show. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there's no law." So how are we feeling about other people? Are we full? Are we letting the Holy Spirit live through us? If we're depending on the Holy Spirit, we're going to have love and peace and joy. We're going to be long-suffering with other people. We're going to be kind, and we're going to be good and faithful. We're going to be gentle and have self-control. 1 Corinthians 13:7 in the Amplified says that love believes the best of every person. So when we think about anybody else, what are we thinking? Are we thinking the best of them? Hallelujah. Satan's the accuser of the brethren, and if our thoughts are consumed by the faults of other or even our own faults, we're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit. So what's filling up our mind? Is our mind thinking about what's wrong with everybody else or what's wrong with me? That's living in the flesh. But if our minds are thinking about the Lord, you know, if somebody needs help, then we'll be in a right position to hold them up before the Lord and pray for them. Hallelujah. If our minds are on the faults of others or our own faults, that's living in the flesh. We're going to talk some now about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:8-10. It says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues." 1 Corinthians 12:31, the last scripture says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts." And it didn't say what the best gifts are, but I think whatever we have need of or someone else has need of is the best gift in that moment. But it says, earnestly desire them. You know, we are to want the gifts of the Spirit to operate in our lives. We're to want the Holy Spirit to be able to flow through us with these gifts to minister and bless other people. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:7 said the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each for the profit of all. So what if the gifts of the Spirit are flowing through us, it's going to bless other people. It's going to be for their edification, for their profit, for their blessing. Hallelujah. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The power gifts are the gifts of healing, faith, and working of miracles. And we're just going to go over briefly just each gift. The gift of healing is the supernatural power of God brought to bear on an illness causing an immediate cure or a gradual healing. Some examples that we've had of that, some immediate healings when Matt came, Nina's feet, it was like an immediate thing. Her arches were lifted. She felt the bones in her foot lifted up. Had flat feet, and the bones were actually lifted up. Juan de la Torre, he had bad pain from a hernia, and it disappeared completely, immediately. And then a testimony of a gradual healing. Sunday morning, I went and talked to Vanna right at the end of service, and I said, "I'm just believing God that you can get rid of that oxygen and you can breathe well." And she says, "Well, I'm almost there." She said, "When I first came, Eric prayed for me." And she said, "I've just been getting better and better." And it was from her heart. She had heart problems, and she was on the oxygen for her heart. And she said, "It's just been getting better and better." She said, "Yesterday I went to the doctor, and he said my heart is almost completely back to normal, and he took me off of a whole lot of medications." Well, that was a divine healing, but it kind of took place gradually. Hallelujah, and we're going to see it totally manifest. Amen. God's working now. Hallelujah. He's a right now God. Gifts of healing work with faith. The greater the expectancy in an individual or a congregation, the greater the gifts move. So when you have an expectancy, when there's a lot of anointing in a service and you're expecting people receive a whole lot more. Divine healing is paid for and always within our reach as Christians by faith. Nevertheless, when there's a strong presence of the Lord, there's always more gifts flowing. Hallelujah. In the Great Commission, Jesus commanded all believers to pray for the sick. And he said they will be healed. So every believer is called to operate in the gifts of the healing. Every believer. Hallelujah. It's part of who we are in Christ, is to operate in the gifts of healing. Faith. Faith is a supernatural endowment of faith to believe in receiving miracles of healing, provision, protection, deliverance, and preservation. Matthew 9:20 through 22. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if I can only touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from there that very hour. There wasn't healing in Jesus' clothes, but touching his garment was her contact. It was her point of faith. Where she said, if I can touch him, the hem of his garment, I'll make me be made whole. It was her point of contact where she released her faith. Working of miracles. A miracle is an endowment of power to act as the instrument in bringing about specific divine intervention. In the Greek, it's dunamis, means power. Miracles are intense explosions of the power of God. It requires obedience and action. And it's the working of miracles. You have to do something. You know, you reach out and say something or do something, and miracles take place. It's the working of miracles. We're going to look at miracles of healing. John 6:2, this is New Living Translation. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. So Jesus just did healing all the time, miracles of healing. I have seen some awesome miracles of healing. You know, there's immediate healings that are miracles of healings and then gradual healings. But when I was a small child, we had, I was actually a teenager by the time the healing happened, but we had close friends, and this lady had been in a wheelchair for like 15 years. And we saw her get out of the wheelchair immediately and walk. It was just an instant miracle of healing. My mom's hand was crushed. They were pulling a well, and 20 foot of pipe fell on her hand. She had her hand, chains broke that was holding the well casing up, and her hand, she was trying to work to put on new things on the bottom of the well. What are they called? Leathers. They were putting new leathers on, and it was mom and dad doing the job together, but the chain broke and all this pipe fell on her hand and it crushed it. And when they took her to the doctor, they said, every bone in your hand is crushed. You'll never use her hand. They wanted to amputate it. And she said, no, you're not amputating it. And they says, oh, we'll have to put, you know, wires in your hand to make it even look like a hand. And right after that, we went to an Oral Roberts meeting, and she got prayed for, and the hand that was just totally limp, couldn't do anything, she was immediately healed. And she went back to the motel room, she got a pair of scissors, and she cut a phone book in two with that hand. That was an immediate miracle of healing. Peter and John, they were in the temple, and there was a crippled man that was begging for alms. And they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he rose up, walking and leaping and praising God. That was a miracle of healing. Hallelujah. there's miracles of provision. When the disciples needed to pay taxes, Jesus says, well, go fishing. And they went and they found the money to pay the taxes in the fish's mouth. And that was a miracle. That was pretty nice. And remember the disciples, they had fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus said, cast your net on the other side. And they obeyed his word and they caught so many fish that they couldn't contain it all. And they had to get another boat to come help take all of the fish that they caught. It was a miracle of provision. Remember the lady that didn't have, she was going to fix the last loaf of bread or tortilla for her and her son, and that they were going to lay down and die. And the prophet came along and he said, prepare me a cake. And she says, well, I just have enough for one last meal for me and my son, and we'll die. But she did. She prepared a cake and she gave it to Elisha, and they did. The oil and the flour never ran out until the end of the drought. There was always provision there. Hallelujah. That was a miracle of provision. And then there was the lady that it was during a time of drought again, and her sons, they were going to take her sons. She was a widow. They were going to take them as slaves because she couldn't pay the debt. And they say, borrow a bunch of vessels, all the vessels you can borrow. And she borrowed a bunch of vessels, and she had a tiny bit of oil. And she started pouring oil and pouring oil and pouring oil until every vessel was filled. And she had enough to pay all of her debts and enough to live on till the famine was over. So those are miracles of provision. Miracles of protection. Remember Daniel in the lion's den. The angel shut the lion's mouth. And the three Hebrew children that got thrown into the fiery furnace. All that burned off were their ropes. And they were kept safe. And a fourth man came to be with them. Those were miracles of protection. When Calvin was a little boy, his dad had just gotten saved. And he had just started tithing. And it was a real hard decision for them because they were really, really poor and having a hard time. But he had just started tithing, and he had planted a bean crop, pinto beans. He had planted a crop of pinto beans, and he was in the field on his tractor, and he looked off, and he could see a hailstorm coming. And he knew it was hell. And he got off the tractor, and he knelt on the ground, and he said, Lord, you said, prove me. Prove me. I've started tithing and you said, prove me. Father, I ask that no hail fall on my crop. And the hail came and it wiped out the crops on three sides of him. And there was not one piece of hail on his property. In fact, it was piled up this high all around the fence line of his crop. And it did not touch his beans. It did not get on his property. Hallelujah. That was a miracle of protection. And it just covered all around him. And it didn't touch his place. Hallelujah. There's miracles. There's miracles of signs and wonders. Remember Moses and his rod. Moses had a lot of signs and wonders and in miraculous things, and how God would turn it into a snake. He'd get up and he'd pick it up by the tail and it would turn back into a rod. And that was a miracle. It was a sign. Hallelujah. All of the plagues and all that God did was a sign, miracles of signs and wonders. One sign and wonder that we saw was in Kumpis, and was expecting a tiny crowd. There was some three students, I think, graduating, and Adelina was going to give a meal to just those students and their parents. And they had enough food for maybe 20 people. And somehow that night, the place filled up. It was packed all the way to the end. People were standing outside. And Adelina sent Jesus a note and said, don't announce supper. Don't invite anyone. We don't have food for them. and he got up and invited everybody. And she sent him another note. No, tell him no, we don't have food. But anyway, he invited him, and he asked Juan de la Parra to get up and ask the blessing over the meal at the end. And Juan didn't know they didn't have enough food, so he got up and he said, Lord, multiply the food. That's how he prayed, multiply the food, that'll be enough. Well, there was so much food that night. And we didn't, none of us in the congregation knew they didn't have enough food. But we went in, we were some of the first ones who went in, and they gave us so much food we could not eat it all in our plate. I mean, that's saying a lot for Calvin and I if we can't eat it all, because we usually can handle that real well. And there was, and they fed and they fed and they fed people big plates of food. And, well, first of all, when we started eating, Calvin took a bite and the Lord said, "This is miracle food." And he says, "Miracle food?" He just, okay. But that night, there was, when they got through, there was as much food left in the pot as there was when they started. And they sent all of the workers home with food. And there was leftover food in everybody's plate, and they gathered it up. It was enough to feed all the hungry dogs in Kumpas. I mean, it was just a lot. It was just a multiplying of food. That was a miracle of provision, but it was a sign and a wonder, too. And then the revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The word of wisdom is the active supernatural agent through which either spiritual or natural wisdom may be imparted. Just as man searches his memory for knowledge stored away, so in the operation of the gifts of the Spirit of God, searches the infinite reservoir of divine wisdom for what he desires to reveal at the time. And a lot of people, you know, God gives us spiritual wisdom about things, but he also gives natural wisdom. A lot of inventors, a lot of creative people that didn't have an answer to something, God gave them the answer. A lot of times he'd just bring up the answer in their heart, or he would bring them a dream. And there's been a lot of people that received divine revelation from God that they put to work, and they made patents on things that had never been discovered before, and God was the one that gave it to them, and then they honored God with it. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11. But as it was written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." And I've heard people read that and they stop right there. You know, the things that God has prepared haven't even entered into the heart of man. We don't know what God's doing. We'll never know what he's doing. You know, they just think, well, they give an excuse for ignorance, like, you know, we don't know. But going on in verse 10, it says, "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit." Hallelujah. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." Hallelujah. And we have the Spirit of God in us that can give us words of wisdom and wisdom concerning spiritual things and even natural things. His wisdom is there for us. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God has all power and has access to all the wisdom of God. But this wisdom is made available to man only through the exercise of faith by the Spirit. Natural man does not have the ability to tap in on God's wisdom on his own. But by the Spirit, we do. Hallelujah. A word of knowledge is a word or fragment of the knowledge of God concerning facts or events. Supernaturally revealed that the individual has no way of knowing on his own. And it can come about with an inward revelation. It's something you just know. Or the voice of the Spirit, like prophecy. It can come in dreams and visions. As we were school walking, a lot of people had different visions of what God's going to do. It was like a word of knowledge about what God is going to do in those different schools, in our town, in this place. Those were words of knowledge of what, you know, God was saying, hey, I'm going to give you inside information. Now, in our natural minds, you know, we could hope, we could pray, we could all of that. But when we have a vision from God, a word of God, he's letting us in on what he's planning to do. Hallelujah. Good news. An example of an inward revelation is John 4, 17 through 18. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you've spoken truly. Well, he wouldn't have known that except by the Spirit. And she said, I perceive that you're a prophet. Because she knew he wouldn't have known that except that by the Spirit of the Lord. Discerning of spirits is a supernatural enablement permitting identification of spirits, seen and unseen. And these includes the Spirit of God, angels, and demonic or satanic spirits. And the purpose of the gift is to see within the spirit world. A basic revelation of the scriptures is that there exist two distinct worlds, a natural one and the other spiritual. Through our physical senses and eyes, we can see into the natural world. But by the spirit, eyes of the spirit, we can see into the spirit world, where God wants us to see. And it's just important to see in the spirit. And when we were, it's like man lost communication with God. But when we're born again, we've renewed that fellowship and we can see things in the Spirit. And I know it's really important to see in the Spirit. Sometimes when we're praying and we're praying for a person that's having some kind of issue or problem, it's important to know if there's a demon spirit behind that problem. I mean, a lot of times when Jesus was praying for the sick, he would rebuke an evil spirit, and then the person would be healed. And, you know, if someone's having any kind of a problem, if there's a demonic spirit behind it, we need to know so that we can bind that spirit and command it to leave, and then the person can receive what they need from the Lord. So the having an awareness in the spirit, seeing in the spirit, is very, very vital. And seeing in the spirit, you know, people sometimes they think of discerning of spirits only as evil spirits, but we need to discern the presence of the Lord when he's with us. Sometimes the Lord shows us angels, and their angels are always around us all the time. But sometimes he lets us see into the spiritual realm where we'll see them sense their presence, or we'll see them in the spirit. The Lord will open our eyes to see angelic beings. Hallelujah. So discerning of spirits is just linking up with the spirit realm, knowing our enemy, knowing God, knowing what he wants to do, having a discerning of what God wants to do, and that's just an important part, a sensitivity to the Spirit of God, and that's what we need to be looking for first, is God. Hallelujah. But if there's a demon in the way, we just need to cast it out and send it away, and so the person can be set free. Or if there's a demonic spirit trying to hinder us, we need to know. And we have absolutely all authority over all demonic spirits. There's no question about that. We have the authority over them. But we need to know it. We need to know what we're fighting against. And it needs to come as a revelation of the Spirit, not just an imagination of our own mind, for us to have the power. Hebrews 1:14, talking about the angels, says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for And the Amplified says, for the assistance of those who shall be heirs of salvation. So the angels are there to minister in our behalf and for us. And as we obey God and speak his word, they're there backing us up. And they're there for us. And then there's the utterance gifts, the prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. I'm missing a page. I pulled two. Prophecy is supernatural inspired utterance in a known language. When speaking in tongues enables man to speak to God supernaturally, prophecy enables God to speak to or through man supernaturally. Prophecy is what God is saying to us. It's the word of the Lord. Now, there's prophecy that can come to us personally, us hearing the voice of the Lord, or a lot of the Old Testament prophets, they prophesied to a nation. You know, they would prophesy over a land. We have been prophesying over Douglas. Hallelujah. That's our sphere of authority. So we can prophesy the word and the plan and the purpose of God over our town, over our church, over our lives. Hallelujah. Acts 2:17 in the New Living Translation says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Hallelujah. The gift of prophecy is for everybody filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit is for every believer. And so God wills, it's his will, that every child of God move in prophecy as the Spirit utters. It's just like it's part of our spiritual DNA for God to speak his word through us. Hallelujah. It's part of who we are. Up until this time when the Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts, only prophets and priests could prophesy. Sometimes kings could, but it wasn't for the general public. But now, after the Holy Spirit was poured off in Acts, it says your sons and your daughters and as many as are far off. This promise is for. They'll prophesy. Hallelujah. And it's God's will for everyone to prophesy. 1 Corinthians 14:1, and then we're going to skip down to 3. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And I believe it says especially that you'll prophesy. I believe prophecy is so important because God's words have power. They're creative. They cause things to happen. And when you speak forth a word of prophecy, you're proclaiming the will and the purpose of God. You're putting it out there. There's creative power in words of prophecy. There's things happen. It's God speaking in the situation. So prophecy, it says, especially that you may prophesy. And then going on down to verse 3, it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So what comes forth in prophecy? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's the purpose of prophecy. The purpose of prophecy is not to expose the dirt in someone's life. The purpose of prophecy is to find the gold, find God's purpose, and bring it to the surface. And the dirt will just disappear. Hallelujah. As you bring God's purpose up, hallelujah, all those other things will just fall by the wayside. Tongues are a supernatural inspired utterance in a language not known to the speaker. The ability to supernaturally speak to God. And the interpretation of tongues is to supernatural utterance in a language familiar to the hearers. And when you have tongues and interpretation of tongues working together, it's the same as prophecy. You know, it just works the same as prophecy. It's the word of the Lord coming forth. Hallelujah. Acts 2:38 through 41, New King James Version. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Then they that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day there were added to them 3,000 souls. So that was when the day the Holy Ghost fell, and they were filled with the Spirit. It's for everyone that believes. The gift of tongues is for everyone that believes. Every believer should speak in tongues. Every believer. It's for us all. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:5, Paul said, "I wish you all spoke with tongues." It was the desire of the Lord. Okay, Acts 10:44-46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on those hearing the word, and those of the circumcision who believed, as many as came with Peter, were astonished, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the nations also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. This was the first example of when speaking in tongues went outside the Jewish people. It went into the nations, and the tongues is for every nation, every people, every person. Hallelujah. Tongues is a separate gift than salvation. Acts 19:2-6. He said to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And they said to him, "We did not so much as hear whether the Holy Spirit is." And he said to them, "Then to what were you baptized?" And they said, "To John's baptism." And Paul said, "John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe into him coming after him, that is, into Jesus Christ. And hearing, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And as Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Hallelujah. The uses of tongues, one of them is for edification. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "He who speaks in tongues edifies himself." When we speak in tongues, we build ourselves up. We edify ourselves. And we all need to be built up. You know, we live in a world that's full of problems and contamination. And, you know, we live in a hard world, and we need built up. We need to pray in the Spirit and pray in tongues. Hallelujah. Praying in tongues is like charging the battery. Hallelujah. Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Hallelujah. It's for worship, either privately or corporately. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, "What is the conclusion then? I'll pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I'll sing in the Spirit, and I'll also sing in understanding." Hallelujah. It talks about publicly speaking. It says, 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, "I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive edification." 1 Corinthians 14:13 says, "Therefore let him who speak in a tongue pray that he interpret." We're all supposed to speak in tongues, but everybody that speaks in tongues should also have the gift of interpretation. And sometimes when we speak in tongues, we're just worshiping God. You know, we're just glorifying God and speaking in tongues. But sometimes when we're praying in the Spirit, we need to pray that we'll have that interpretation, because sometimes when we pray in tongues, God is trying to sell us something. And if we ask for the interpretation, he'll give us a key. He'll tell us something. Oral Roberts, years ago, before they built the City of Faith, the Lord showed him a piece of property, and he would go and walk and walk and walk and walk in the property, and he'd just pray in tongues and pray in tongues. And one day the Lord nudged him and said, ask for the interpretation. I want to tell you what you're praying about. And it began to flow, the interpretation that God wanted him to build a city of faith that he built. You know, so it's like sometimes we need to have an interpretation of what we're praying for in tongues because God's trying to tell us something. Hallelujah. And sometimes it's okay to glorify God in tongues in church, but a lot of times then we need the interpretation. What is God saying to the people? What is he saying? Hallelujah. What is he saying to us? Something interesting about the gifts of the Spirit that they often, a lot of times, different gifts will work together. This gift of faith works with miracles and healing. A lot of times, words of knowledge will work with healing. Like Matt, we saw a good example when Matt was here. He says, somebody has flat feet. Somebody has, I don't remember all the things he called out, but he began to call out things. God's wanting to heal that right now. Those were words of knowledge that worked together with the gift of healing. Tongues and interpretation of tongues work together. Hallelujah. But a lot of times there's multiple gifts that function at the same time. They complement one another. Hallelujah. Faith and miracles always work together. You always see faith in operation, the gift of faith in operation where miracles are happening. Hallelujah. And so we want and need the Holy Spirit in our life. We need the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on Him. We need to depend on Him and rely on Him, not depend on ourselves and not figure out how we can do it on our own strength. But it's growing in the Lord isn't becoming more better at what you do and becoming more independent. Growing in the Lord is becoming ever more dependent on Him and the help of the Holy Spirit. That's what growing in the Lord is all about, is depending, learning to listen to and depend on our helper, on our standby, on our counselor, on our comforter, being dependent upon Him and obedient to Him. You know, it's like, you know, when we're out shopping in Walmart, out among the people, God wants to give us words of knowledge about people. You know, that person's under depression right now. Cheer them up. Say something. Give them a word of encouragement. You know, He wants to use us. He wants to use us and operate through us. It's like, you know, we just need to be a tool in the Lord's hands, and we do that by being acquainted with the Holy Ghost in our life and obedient to Him, sensitive to Him, listening to Him, ears to hear. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you so much for the Spirit of the Lord that's dwelling within us. And Lord, we're hungry for more. We're hungry for Lord, we want an ever increasing dependence on the Holy Spirit in our life. And we ask for a greater sensitivity to have ears to hear the Lord, to flow with the Spirit in all that we do and all that we say. Father, we want more of your presence in this place. We want more of your presence in this place. We want a greater kabone she labanote labahane oshe elamahandoria she labanho. Father, we never want to have a service without the presence of the Lord here and doing what He would do in our lives. We want, Father, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come hungry for you, hungry for you, hungry for your presence, hungry for to operate. Father, we earnestly actually desire the best gifts, which are all of the gifts. We earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation every time we come together. Every time we go out, Lord, we ask that the gifts of the Spirit operate in our life. With everybody we talk to, Lord, just let us be your hand extended. Oh, we just thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you for your presence here. Father, I thank you, Lord, for opening up our awareness of you, that we will hear your voice, that we will hear your voice. Father, I ask that you... I feel the presence of the Lord here right now, and I just want us to just be quiet before the Lord a little bit. I feel like the Lord is going to put some ideas, some of his plans into your heart right now. He's here for a purpose. Just open your heart, open your mind, open your ears to the voice of the Spirit tonight. Just wait on the Lord a few minutes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lada Pain Day, De Boya, Latinda, Lada Beyond, Lada Banaya, Lady Hindai. Holy, 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 holy. Lada Banyan Day, Lada Manaya, Shay. Hallelujah. If the Lord has spoken to you, it may be that what he has said to you tonight is for everybody, it's for the church. If you saw a vision, if you heard something in your spirit that you just feel like that God wants you to share, just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, Rayate, let up a shandalidi ande, lobonanayate. Holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Father, I bless this people. I bless this people, Father, with a greater sensitivity and awareness of your presence within, with a greater sensitivity to hear your voice and walk with you. I bless this people with a spirit of victory, the spirit of an overcomer, the spirit of peace. Father, I bless this people with with a greater amount of the love of God flowing through them, flowing out through them, filling each vessel, filling each person, Father, with your love. Oh, to a greater measure, Lord. Father, while your presence is here and with us, we so desire a greater density, heavier, heavier, heavier presence of the Lord in our midst. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that your name might be glorified, that your people might be set free and blessed. Oh, la dei bishon de la ribin da la bohai. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Does anybody here either fall or something or have something going on with your tailbone that you know of? Anybody? You know what? It's mine.
Let's just pray for Connie.
Can you get somebody behind her?
Hallelujah. The Lord gave Connie a word, and it was for her. She didn't realize it till she said it. And she got it. Hallelujah. She got her answer. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for holy laughter, for holy laughter, for joy in the Holy Ghost, for the oil of joy flowing through us, flowing through our congregation. Father, just let the oil and the wine of the Holy Spirit just fill us full and overflowing. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Reuben, that's about to get all over you. That laughter. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the laughter of the Holy Ghost, for the joy of the Spirit. Oh, for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's liberty in the presence of the Lord. Holy, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Holy day, beni andai alara bohai arime oramani onde. Oh. Thank you, Lord. Holy, 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 Barayaliashi. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Just a little something that the Holy Spirit, the Lord shared with me that I feel is for more than just me. He said, connect and receive. Be quiet and listen. Listen to me. I will speak. I will not hold back my will from you. My promise is yours.
Amen. That's awesome. Yeah, he will speak. He will speak. Hallelujah. Oh, the word of the Lord is just, it's just like fresh. It's just so good, so good. It just ministers to us life. Thank you, Jesus. Well, if anybody else has anything you want to share, well, let's share it. And if not, well, we just pray. I pray that the presence of the Lord that's on us right now will go home with you. It'll rest on you all night long, that you'll feel his presence, that you'll hear his voice, that you'll have a greater increase in the presence and the anointing of the Lord in your life. That you'll be a blessing, that the Holy Spirit will just flow out of you like a river, flow out of you like a river bringing fresh life from the throne of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you, and we'll see you all on Sunday.